Well, thank you, Gail. It's a big week coming, and I'm so thankful to Gail and Grace, who put in so much time and effort. This is the third year that they're directing camp together, and it just wouldn't happen if it was left to me. Let's put it that way. They do months of work ahead of time getting camp ready, and they do such a wonderful job, and thank you to all who are going to be part of that. If you have not got kids, you may just sort of hear about day camp and it just goes in one ear and out the other. But we encourage you to use day camp and invite somebody to camp. Everybody can invite somebody, maybe some kids in your neighborhood, maybe some kids in your families. This is a great opportunity to bring people into the church who maybe have never, ever experienced that before. And camp is the easiest and I think one of the best ways and best tools we have for reaching people. We just seeing that sign out front of our church, people that don't go to church will drive into our church, sometimes creating chaos at this four-way stop, and say, "What's this about a camp for $50? Is there still room?" And they're excited that their kids could participate in something like this. So we have nice friendly flyers and you can hand those out to people that you know, and it's a great opportunity to bring folks into camp. It's summertime, and summer means time to relax and refresh and have some holidays, and we all do that at this time of year. So we encourage you to do that, but we also encourage you to use your rest time well. There's a good way to rest and a bad way to rest. We need physical rest, but we also need spiritual rest, and Psalm 62 reminds us that my soul finds rest in God alone. And so as you're out there having fun and doing all kinds of great activities, that's wonderful, but just don't expect those things to meet the need that your spirit and your soul needs. And that is rest with God. And so don't just do fun things. Spend time with God this summer. Spend extra time with Him. The summer gives us that opportunity. And so we just encourage you to use your summer well, so that when you come back, you're not like, "Well, I did everything fun I could think of, but I still don't feel ready for the fall." Spend time with the Lord and you come back and you'll be on a spiritual high and ready for all that God has for us here in the fall. Well, Nico started us last week into the book of 1 John, and we're going to continue this series today. The wonderful thing about a series is you don't have to ask the Lord. That's not the right way to say it. You don't have to ask the Lord what He wants to say. That's probably not the right way to put it. But you have a text given to you, and then you ask the Lord, "What are you saying in the text?" There's a difference. I'll just keep moving along here. So let's all stand up and read this together. I mostly teach in kids' church and youth and places like that. And I believe in participation. So everyone stand up and we're going to read this together. 1 John, if you do not have an NIV version, maybe just whisper quietly. If you have NIV or want to read off the screen, then we'll all be in sync together. 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and the only, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Thanks, you can sit down. Well, John, throughout this text, uses this imagery of light and dark. Lightness and darkness. Now, to ensure we can appreciate what he's talking about, light and dark, we need to, I think, at least play with some of the light and dark a little bit, don't you? So let's have the lights. If you guys could shut off the lights for us. All the lights. Very good. Those ones too. Very good. Screen light, please. You could even click that for a second. There's a sense of the darkness. Now, this isn't pure darkness. We have light coming in some places that allows us to see. It would be hard to read in this light. So this gives us at least a good sense of darkness. But God talks to us in this text about the difference between light and the dark. Here's the light for you. The light kind of pierces the darkness. We like having light when we're in the darkness. Some people say, oh, I like the dark. I'm kind of a night owl. That's because you have light to turn on when you're in the dark. So you stay up all night, but you turn lights on. And so you say, I like being up at night. The truth is, you're using light. So it's not quite true. Thank you. You can turn on the lights there again for us. Ooh, that hurts a bit. Payback, I think, from the sound guys. I'm going to get you guys. I love mag lights. So he uses this imagery of light and dark, and we have to understand light and dark to understand this passage. We have to understand what he's talking about. And when I think of darkness, there's one situation in my life where darkness, I encounter darkness, like the kind of darkness that he's talking about. The darkness where you stumble, it's so dark. You stumble over things. Where you're blinded, you can't see. And there's this one situation I have with my children. I have four children, two teenagers, and two that are younger, a four-year-old and a seven-year-old. And we go through a process every night called bedtime. And at bedtime, we take our four-year-old and our seven-year-old, who share a room, and we take them upstairs, and we get them all ready, and then we sit them down, and I say, okay, it's bedtime. I don't want it to be bedtime. I know, but it's bedtime. And here's the deal. You guys can stay together and sleep together in this room. If you're quiet, and you stay in your bed, and you go to sleep. If you can't do that, then I'm going to have to remove one of you. So they know what the consequence is. So I go downstairs. 50% of the time, I would say, is the average. When a minute after I go downstairs, I hear thumping upstairs. It sounds like there's thumping, and it quickly turns into what sounds like wrestling as the walls are being banged. And I think to myself, I don't think they're going to sleep. And so I go back upstairs. I pick the one who seems to be the rowdiest. I grab them, and I say, were you in your bed sleeping? No. Okay, what's the consequence? We can't sleep together. Okay, and we go through this process. I take them downstairs, and we put them in our room. So now we have one in our room and one in their room, and they go to sleep quite nicely. Now, at some point, it's time for me to go to bed. And so I come into my room. I usually forget that I have moved somebody there, and lo and behold, there's a lump in my bed. And so the first thing I have to go through, oh, yeah, okay. So I go through the process, and I take the covers off, and I grab this dead log and somehow throw it over my shoulder or carry it, and I start heading up the stairs. And in our house, you go up the stairs, and it goes around a corner, and then you go down a hall, and you get to their room. Now, as you get there, it's getting darker and darker. The light from downstairs is getting lighter and lighter. And then suddenly we get to their room, and you open the door, and pitch black. We use those blackout blinds so that even if it's 9 o'clock in the morning, our children still think it's the middle of the night. They're wonderful, as much as I love them getting up at 5 a.m., but we use those things, God's gift to us as parents. But when I open that door, it is pitch black. Like, I can't even see a foot in. It's dark up on the hallway, but now it's like pitch. Not a single bit of light. And I can't see a thing. And at this moment, I have a critical decision to make. A, do I enter the room and tuck my child into their bed in the dark? Or B, do I flip on the light switch? Flip. Now, if I flip on the light switch, it's going to wake them up, and I feel guilty about that. But if I do not turn on the light, I endanger myself severely. Because as any parent of a 4-year-old knows, their room is not a safe place in the dark. Now, if mom was in there last, the room will be spotless. But if the 4-year-old was in there last, there will be a layer 6 inches deep that covers the entire floor of pretty much everything in their room. Now, for those of you who don't have 4-year-olds, you need to understand something. When they make toys, I believe part of the requirement is they put them in a room and step on them, and if it doesn't create the most excruciating pain you can think of, it doesn't qualify as a toy. And that is what is covering this floor. You think tacks would be bad, all the toys are the worst. Stepping on toys in the dark is the worst pain you can ever experience. So I know that walking into this room, I am endangering my life. Now, not only is there a minefield, but we bought a house with these beautiful rooms built into the ceiling on the second floor. So they're always wanted a house like this with these nice sloped ceilings. Wonderful. We've wanted one all our life. But you walk in that in the dark and you have no idea when that roof becomes head level. And so you are putting your life at risk. And not only is the roof sloped, but we had this great idea to create this little cave. So our roof slopes, there's a wall, and then there's this little cave where our 4-year-old sleeps. So my goal at this point would be to get them from the doorway in the dark, over the minefield, avoiding this roof, and into this cave in the dark. Critical decision to be made. Now, as a young man, I often made the wrong decision. And I would attempt to put my child in the bed in the dark and pay the consequences. And by the time I would come back out of that room, I would pretty nearly have lost my salvation, I think, if that's possible, by that point. I am in such a heap of frustration and anger, and have done bodily harm in so many ways. But I'm a wise old man now, and I know that flipping on that light, creating 2 seconds of the pain for my child that goes, and then is not worth me attempting to walk in the darkness. And that is the kind of darkness John is talking about here. The kind of darkness that you stumble and fall in, that you cannot see where you're going. And nobody wants to live in that kind of darkness. Now, he gives us a picture of looking at the world through God's eyes, looking at how God's kingdom works, and he uses light and dark. He talks about light and darkness. He talks about the world being closed and wrapped in darkness, that we all live in darkness, and that God is light, and he has brought light into the darkness. The Bible says the darkness is because of our sin. Sin has created this darkness that we live in. And we are all in this darkness. The kind of darkness that you stumble and fall and trip over. That's the kind of darkness he's talking about. Now, this idea was not John's idea. We see throughout Scripture that God introduces this idea, that this is the way he sees the world. In Isaiah, it says that those living in darkness have seen a great light. In foretelling Jesus coming and walking amongst us, he's prophesying about Jesus, and he says those in the darkness have seen a great light. Jesus himself uses the language. He says, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And Paul says, live as children of light. And he dedicates a whole chapter to this. Find out what pleases the Lord. And the apostle Peter uses these words. He says, he called you out of darkness into his glorious light. And the apostle John, who also wrote the Gospel of John, when he starts that text, he again uses light. And there's great similarity between 1 John and the Gospel of John. And so I'm just going to read this first bit of John for you as well to see where he brings the light into this. In John, he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness hasn't understood it. There came a man sent from God. His name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning this light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So as John introduced the gospel of Jesus, he's using this great light that is coming into the darkness to describe the picture that he is experiencing. Now, for those of you who are newer to Christianity, a little bit of an insight into how this works. In this text, it said, to those who have received him, he gave the right to become children of God. So you may have heard of terms like Jesus came to die for your sins. Jesus paid the price for our sin. And so God is able to give us eternal life. This is the gift of light that he's given us. We are in darkness, but he wants us to move. He wants to move us into the light where he is. He invites us into that light. But because of our sin, it had to be taken care of. So through salvation, God moves us into the light. But salvation has three parts to it. There's the initial part where we receive Jesus and accept him and believe in him. And we now step into the light. But there's another part to salvation where there's a continuous part where he wants to cleanse us of all the sin that's currently in us. And then there's going to be a day that comes down the road where we will die and be removed from sin completely. Separated from the devil. The devil will be done with. He will be, God will deal with him. He won't be able to plague us anymore. We'll have new bodies and we'll be free from sin. And it's going to be wonderful. No more death, no more pain, no more suffering. But this is a process that we go through. And so John addresses this process that we're in. When we've been stepped out of the light, and we're now living in the light. But some of us, he says, are still living in darkness. We might think we're in the light, but we're still living in darkness. And so we're going to explore that a little bit more this morning. What does it look like to live in the darkness? And he gives us some examples to help us understand this. What does living in the darkness look like? Are you in the darkness? Are you? Who amongst us is in the darkness? He says that some of us are liars here today. He wrote this to the church. He said, some of you are lying. You're lying. Who is it? Are we going to go on a witch hunt this morning? No. But he says in verse 5 and 6 of 1 John, not John, don't read John. Just got to find it again here. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 and 6, he says, this is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So he's saying some of us were deceived a bit. And then he goes on to explain what this looks like. And it appears that light and darkness aren't meant to mix. We're not supposed to be in the light and the darkness. So we're not supposed to have a dimmer switch. How many of you have a dimmer in your house so you can adjust the lighting? Adjust the mood lighting. Guys, you know that your ladies need you to adjust the mood sometimes. So you dim the lights. We don't do that in Christianity. That's not a good thing. Might be a good thing in other situations, but it's not a good thing here. To mix the darkness and the light. They're not supposed to be mixed together. And so he gives us some ideas of what the darkness looks like so that we can be aware of it. So in 1 John chapter 2 verse 3 down to 6. Let's read this because this is the first example he gives us of what living in the dark looks like. He says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. But the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. So he gives us this example. One example of knowing if we're in the darkness is if we obey God or not. Now there's different degrees of this. There's some who maybe become a Christian and their life doesn't change at all. So their life is still full of sin and they still do all the things they used to do. So there may have been a malfunction in the light switch there. They didn't quite flip the light on. And those are a little more obvious. Maybe they didn't quite make the switch into the light. Only God truly knows our hearts, so we don't make that call. God knows, and that's good enough for us. But to whatever degree we live in disobedience, we are living in the darkness. So don't, this is not black and white, I was going to say, but actually that is what we're talking about. But it's not that simple. We can't just say, oh, I'm not living in sin, I guess I'm okay. No, when we live disobedient, when we know the truth and we don't obey, that's living in the darkness. And so there's all kinds of things that God shows us in His Word and reveals to us about what is right and good and holy and what is living in the light look like. So when God says, pay 10% of your money to tithe, then you give 1%. That's disobedience. When God says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, and you work 7 days a week and never stop, that's disobedience. There are many, many things we could go through today that would fall in the camp of disobedience. And that is a form of living in the darkness, even though you've been brought into the light. And that is what John is addressing here. And so our disobedience is one area. But he takes it even further because he's prying here. I believe it's because he's near the end of his life and he sees the body of Christ. And he sees the unhealth that is happening. And so he addresses them as his children. He says, my children, my children. And he addresses us this way. And he has had this encounter with Jesus. He has walked with him. He has seen the light. He has seen how good it can be. And then he sees us that don't really get it. And he wants us to get it. And so he pries even deeper. And in chapter 2, verse 9, he says this, he says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Not a first read of that. I could ask, who here hates their brother? Anybody? Anyone today want to admit that? No? No. Not too many hands. A few hands. Whoa. Some parents have some work to do there, apparently. I didn't get a response from that in the first service. I'm not sure what to do with that. Generally, we don't hate our brothers and sisters. A few of us have obviously voiced that at times. That's why I like working with kids. They're just honest. It's great. But most of us have never recently said, I hate that guy. Unless you've seen the show Despicable Me. And for the parents here who are lucky enough to have children so that you get to go to cartoon movies and enjoy them without any guilt, I feel sorry for the poor young adults who go to those movies all by themselves, don't have kids. They're half embarrassed, but they know they want to see it. It's the beauty of being a parent. But the movie Despicable Me is a movie about this cartoon bad guy who's not a great villain. And that's his problem. And there's other villains that are much better than them. And when he sees those guys, he'd say, I hate that guy. That would be his language. But most of us don't. Oh, hello. I think I may have just done that to myself, actually. But most of us don't go around saying, I hate that guy. We don't talk like that. So does that eliminate all of us? I don't think so. I think John is digging deeper here. He says, if we love our brother, we're living in the light. If we don't love them, then we're not. So God's word tells us what love looks like. Love is patient and kind and gentle. So the opposite of that is being unkind, harsh, speaking ill of one another, harboring bitterness and anger towards one another. And we may never say, oh, I just hate that guy. We may say all kinds of other things. And that's the stuff that John is getting at here. He's prying at us. This is stuff, when we embrace that, we are living in the darkness. And not in the light. And he clearly points that out to us here today. In chapter 1, verse 6, it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So we may think we're in fellowship with God, and we're actually not. At least to some degree. Not in the kind of fellowship that's possible. Not in the kind of fellowship that John talked about earlier in this chapter, that Nico talked about last week. If you missed last week, you need to listen to it online. Nico's introduction to this book, it was so good. And he talks about koinonia and the fellowship that we have with the Father and with Christ and with one another. And they're all, it's one entity, it's one fellowship. There's no fellowship with God and fellowship with our brothers and sisters. It's one fellowship. And we can't be deceived to think I can be in unhealthy relationships with my brothers and sisters and harboring things and it not affect my fellowship with the Father. That does not exist. Our fellowship with him is affected. And some of us today might even feel like you're just in a wilderness. You don't know why. I just don't feel connected with God like I used to be. Maybe you're walking in a level of darkness that's preventing that. Now, if we were to create a camp over here called Living in the Darkness, and over here is Living in the Light, the Prince of Darkness, the Bible talks about him. He loves making us stay in this darkness. He wants us to stay here, to live here. Even though we've been set free, the Bible says that when we were in the darkness, we were slaves to sin. It was like our master. It owns us. It rules over us. But God loved us so much, he sent Jesus to free us from that and to allow us to be in the light, to live in the light. But many of us come into the light and then we just, thanks Jesus, and then we walk back into the darkness. And we come back and let it be our master again and rule over us. And John is saying, that's crazy. And the other apostles, when they use this analogy, why would you mix light and dark? Why would you go back? That's craziness. Don't go back there. Don't go back and live in the dark. And not only does the enemy want to keep us here, and some of you are already feeling this morning, and it's guilt. I've been living in the dark. And I feel so guilty now. Oh! And the devil, not only does he want us to live in the dark, but once he gets you there, then he's like, ha ha, you're living in the dark. Ha ha, condemnation, you're a loser. Ha ha. That's how he works. And we believe him. I am a loser. I'm living in the dark. And that's how we live our lives as Christians sometimes. But John tells us here, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Don't live in sin. Live in the light. He encourages us towards the light. So when we've talked about the darkness and what it looks like to live in the darkness, let's talk about the light for a minute. And in this text, in verse 5, John says, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Zero. Zilch. So if we put God over here, there's no darkness at all. Nothing. And it's wonderful. And it's amazing. And he's holy. And pure. And he gives us opportunity to join him over here in the light. And for him to be our master instead of that side. We may think we like living in the dark, just like Nighthawk people. We don't like it because we stumble around. It controls us and it rules our lives. But being in the light, we are free from all that stuff. And it is so good to be free. But let's talk about God for a minute. Because if He is light, we need to understand what we're talking about here. And I think being born in the modern Christian age, we forget how awesome God is. Because we have learned that He is loving and merciful and gracious. And we've come to know that part of Him. And it's He is. And that's good. And that's, we are so thankful. But sometimes I think we lose track of the other part of God. The part of God that was more clearly revealed initially in the Old Testament. He was known as the Good Shepherd to His people, but He was known as something even more than that. They saw Him as a God to be feared. And when we think of many of the Old Testament stories, if we had been there, you could imagine the fear of God it would put in you. Imagine being at Mount Sinai when Moses goes up there to get the Ten Commandments, to meet with God. And he goes up the mountain, and suddenly the mountain like turns into a flaming ball of fire. And there's smoke and lightning and fire everywhere. And Aaron says, I think we should draw a line in the sand around this mountain here. Maybe back over here somewhere. Maybe a little further back. They were freaked out. It says the people were afraid, struck with fear when they saw this. Because God's presence was residing on the mountain. And it is so awesome and so holy that God couldn't even fully reveal Himself to Moses, or He would have died, and so He only gives him a glimpse. And Moses still comes down the hill glowing like a giant light bulb. That's the God we're talking about. The God who for the people of Israel dwelt in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, this tent that He told them to build. And as they traveled around this tent, they'd set it up everywhere they went, and they'd put it in the middle of the village. And this tent would be there. And if they did it just right, God's presence would come and dwell there. If they did everything just right. And then made sacrifices for their sin. And did everything just right. Did everything God asked them to do. Then His presence would come and dwell there. Now imagine being an invading army. And you're getting your game plan together. We're going to get these guys. And you come up over the hill at night, you're crawling on your belly, and you get to the top of the hill and suddenly, you see the people, this tent, and this pillar of fire hanging in the air between the tent and heaven. Yeah, I don't know if this is such a good idea, guys. I'm out of here. That would be my response, as I'm sure many people did. I often wondered, God, how come You only revealed Yourself to certain people in the old... Man, everybody knew about God back then. They were known, Israel was known as the people that carried the presence of the God with them. And they knew it. It was obvious. And He fought their battles for them. That's the kind of God we're talking about. God of heaven and earth, who holds the earth on an invisible axis, floating around the sun. That's the kind of God we're talking about. The moment He lets go, that's it. She's all done, folks. God of heaven and earth. And He is inviting us to join Him in the light, and yet we just kind of mosey back to the darkness. Well, I've been given this great gift, but I just seem more comfortable over here for some reason. And that's the picture that John gives us of the light and the dark. But we need to get the right picture of how awesome the light is. And how awesome it is to be in the light. And how awesome it is to live a life free from sin. God isn't mad at us when we're over here living in darkness. He's not like, oh, those guys. What's wrong with them? Gee, how many times do I have to tell them? That's not God's heart. He's living the good life in the light. He knows how awesome it is, and he sees us suffering, wandering in the darkness, tripping and falling and hurting ourselves every day and causing pain in our friendships. That's life in the darkness. And he's inviting us into the light to walk with him, to be with him, to enjoy freedom from all the pain and the suffering that this world offers, free from the enemy. And that's the stuff he invites us into. And that's what walking in the light can be like. In this text, he says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." He's encouraging us away from sin. The Apostle Paul also uses that language. In Romans 6, he goes quite in detail about it. A few things he says in there. He says, up to Romans 6, he's talking about salvation and all that God has purchased on our behalf and how we get to now be free from sin and live in the light. And then he says this, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it anymore?" He encourages us. He says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies." Don't let sin reign over you. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So offer yourself to your new slave master, who's good and awesome. And that is what God invites us into. Freedom from the darkness. Freedom from sin and pain and suffering. This morning, we don't need to be full of guilt and shame and condemnation when our sin is revealed. We need to be excited when we see our sin in our lives and recognize it so that we can give it to God. John takes us through the process here. If you have sinned, confess your sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive you. That's all it takes to get a clean slate again. When we're stuck in the darkness, that's all that we have to do is come to him and ask for forgiveness and start fresh in the light again. So the moment sin enters our life, we can cleanse ourselves of it, get rid of it, let it not have any hold on us, and move in the light and walk in the light again. And as we stumble and fall and slip back in the darkness, we just go through this process again and again until we learn to live in the light and not in the darkness. When that sin comes, we don't sit there and just dwell on it. Oh boy, I'm stuck here. I guess I'm in concrete. I can never get out. That's the way we talk sometimes. Those are lies. Lies that there's no sin we can't be free from. That's a lie. That's a lie. So in closing this morning, you may say, "I'm stuck in the darkness. I've been trying. It's hard to get out of the darkness." Well, I want to leave you with one tool this morning to help you. Galatians chapter 5, there's a great little verse to help you in this journey. How do we get to enjoy all the goodness of living in the light? How do we get there? So I hope this text helps you this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. It says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Again, he says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." And so, Paul, everyone understands there's this battle between living in the dark and living in the light. And I am aware of that. I am in that struggle. And he talks about this conflict that's happening between the light and the dark, between my sin nature and my new heavenly person that God created me to be. I'm struggling between those. And when I hear the word conflict, I can't help but think of WWF wrestling. And when I was a young lad, boy, Todd's had influence on me. Lad, where did that word come from? When I was a young lad, and or maybe it's Toby living in her house. I don't know, but you English people are messing with my language. When I was a young lad, and I used to watch WWF, we loved, my favorite was the tag team wrestling. You guys who are members, tag team WWF. So for those of you that didn't see that, there was these guys wrestling, and they were tag team partners. And that means that you had two guys in the ring and two guys outside the ring. So I'm over here and I have a teammate outside the ring that at any point I can come over and tag them and they jump in the ring and continue fighting. And so all of your favorite characters get in there and the guys you cheer for. And there's always these bad guys that take on your favorite guys like Superfly Snuka or somebody like that. That rung a bell with some of you, I know it. So in this battle that takes place, you have these two guys wrestling, and usually your favorite guy, you know, there's a battle back and forth, but the bad guy starts to win at some point. And he starts really beating up the good guy. And he's just getting annihilated in there. And you're thinking, it's time to tag your partner, tag out. And you're seeing him get just annihilated in the ring. And at some point, he gets beaten down and he's down, he's just getting annihilated. And the bad guy, at some point, sees how well he's doing and he starts getting arrogant. He starts walking around the ring and going, yeah, look at me, I'm awesome. Yeah, we're gonna kill these guys, yeah. And meanwhile, the good guy's crawling across the ring. He's reaching for the tag, but he just can't quite get there. And it's so close, and as you're watching on TV, you're like, come on. Just, you can't even help yourself. You're like reaching. Just tag him. Just make the tag. And he's not doing it. And then the bad guy, he's over here, yeah. And he looks and he sees him going after like 5 minutes of crawling. And then he goes over and he grabs him by the leg just as they're about to tag. And he drags him back and continues to beat him. And then his partner usually says something to the ref and he gets distracted. And then the other tag team guy usually jumps in with a chair and starts wailing on him. Something like that. That's the devil, by the way, working with your sin nature. That's how they work together. But that's the picture I get in my mind when I think of this epic battle going on inside me. And sadly, I think we are so much like that. My dad used to see us watching that and he'd say, how can you watch that? It's so fake. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's not fake. They're beating each other. How can you fake that? So then me and my brother would practice trying to hit each other, but we didn't inevitably hit each other, so it didn't work. We couldn't fake it, so we figured it must be real. But obviously there was a little bit of fakeness in there. Learned as an adult. But my dad used to say that's fake. How? But that is so much like our Christian lives. We have the Holy Spirit as our tag team partner. And we are crawling through life thinking we're taking all the effort we can. And we're letting sin reign in our lives and we're like, oh, I just can't do it. It's just beating me up. We need to invite the Holy Spirit into our fight with us. The Holy Spirit can help us. Now, some of us have the wrong picture of the Holy Spirit to help us. If I was to introduce these two characters in a wrestling ring, I'd say, over here in the red corner, weighing in at 150 pounds, is Jep's sin nature. Yeah, I only care about me. Do what I want, when I want. Yeah. 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 Sin nature. But over here, we have the Holy Spirit. Over here, weighing in at 150 pounds, the Holy Spirit! Hello! I am the Holy Spirit here to help you. That is the wrong picture, people. And most of you, that is your picture of the Holy Spirit. Let's try this again. Weighing in the red corner, at 3,590 pounds, the Holy Spirit! Hello. I am the Holy Spirit, and I'm here to crush your sin nature. I'm going to armbar it into submission. That is the right picture of the Holy Spirit, you guys. Okay? And we're like crawling to tag him. Oh, if I could just have some help. He is there. He's his God, the Spirit of God living in us, dwelling in us. He's here to help. And we're suffering over here in the darkness. Not only has he brought us into the light, but he's given us his Holy Spirit to deal with whatever darkness remains. And we can call on him. So moms, when you start your day, I am shocked. And I don't know how you do it, moms. I see moms trying to make it through an entire day without the Holy Spirit. You are crazy. I can hardly last a half hour with my kids without the Holy Spirit. Moms, bring the Holy Spirit into your day. Bring his word and worship and prayer life. Bring it in and fill your day with it. I couldn't do it. You're setting yourself up to fail. I know when I should go here. I know when my wife has been relying on her own strength when I get home from work. It's ugly. And I can tell she is like had it. And I'm there to help her. I'm not as good as the Holy Spirit, but I do what I can to help. But it's the same for me in many situations. Guys in the workplace or wherever you... We try and make it through things through the days on workplaces that are full of sin, and we try and do it without the Holy Spirit. Well, no wonder sin is going to have its way with us. We need him in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit desperately. And he's there to help us. He's there to bring us out of the darkness and into the light. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And worship team, you can come if you want at this time. And we're just going to spend a minute in prayer here. So some of us here today have been stuck, still kind of dwelling in the darkness. Allowing too much of the darkness in our lives. And as I said, John gives us such a simple explanation how to deal with that sin. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, you have maybe you've underestimated the light and how awesome, how privileged we are to enter into the light. And you need to repent. Confess your sin. Go through that simple step of coming to a clean slate. That's all it takes. That is why we are such a privileged people. We can be released that easily by confessing our sin, giving it to the Lord, and he puts us back in the light. Clean slate. Maybe you have things you need to repent of with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You've harbored unforgiveness or bitterness or resentment or offenses. whatever comes to mind, whatever sins have plagued you in your life or just even been revealed today, just confess those to the Lord right now yourself. Just say, Lord, I give you this. Forgive me. I don't want this in my life anymore. I want to be free. I give it to you. Set me free afresh today. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father. That we might, how privileged are we that we have the right to be called children of God. To not have to live in the darkness and stumble our way through life. But you have opened heaven for us. That we can have a taste of heaven now. We can live with heaven in us now. We can live in the light. So I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would bless them today with all the goodness of heaven. All the good things you have for us today. We open those doors. We welcome it. We repent together, Lord, of the sins of our lives, of being okay with the darkness, of accepting the darkness, of thinking it's okay, acceptable. God, you are a holy, awesome God, and you and sin do not mix. And we repent of that in our lives. And we thank you that you would even consider having relationship with us, a sinful people. And Lord, may we have a new desire, a fresh desire to hate sin in our lives like you hate it, to see it like you hate it, to see how it affects our fellowship with you. And may we be people who walk in the light. Learn how to walk in the light, free from sin. And so wash us clean today, Lord Jesus, by the blood you shed for our sin. Wash us clean again. Give us a new place to stand. Pull us out of the pit and give us a solid place to stand, afresh and anew today. So, Lord, I bless my brothers and sisters. Oh, that we are so privileged to live in the light. I bless them today. May your face shine upon them and bring them peace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, we're just going to close, and Joe is going to lead us in some worship. And this morning, we'll have folks up here to pray with you. If you want to pray about anything, we'd love to do that. If you're just having a hard time getting out of the darkness, we're here to support you and pray for you. You want more of the Holy Spirit to fill you? You want to let the real Holy Spirit in and not maybe the false picture one you've been living with? Whatever you need prayer for this morning, we would love to pray with you. So as he worships, you can come. Or as we worship, you can come. So why don't you stand as we just worship and Joe lead us.